Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Or walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Wow.
Well, I'm free to be still and quiet as well. So now what?
Yes, yes, yes. It's a beautiful day. It's about pain. It's about disappointment. It's about letdown. It's about love. It's about growth. It's about forgiveness. It's about healing. Are you ready to heal? Are you really ready, really, really ready, 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 healing to heal, to release, to let go, to know yourself as who you really are? Yes, yes, yes. It's about that time. Fatherless like me? Well, what is that?
Hello, Father. What did you think since you've been gone away? I prayed every day you to come back home. But time moves on, and when your secrets came to light, I was not surprised. I have forgiven all the things that you've done wrong.
Rocking out to a forgiveness song. I mean, just jamming. I have, getting it. Just getting down, getting down. Why are you so happy? Because I've forgiven. That's why I'm so free. Ooh, look at you getting real low. You're getting so low because you were forgiven. That's right. When I forgive, I let go of the stuff. And now I have a shift in consciousness. That is the answer to anything that you're going through. Forgiveness. Love is not just what you say, it is what you do. Love in action is where people get to feel you. You can tell people you love them or you love yourself, but you've got to demonstrate that love. If you don't demonstrate the love, you don't know what love is. It's got to be felt. It's got to be embodied. It's got to be experienced. It's all about forgiveness. So whatever you're moving through, going through, and growing through, it's time for you to sing the song. Ooh, I'm being real bad today. I'm feeling real good because I've forgiven. Come on, let's rock out to a forgiveness song. A spiritual day club, not nightclub, day club. Am I playing the song over again? Yes, I am. Yes, yes, yes. I have them playing the background. That's kind of cheesy. But who said it's cheesy? Oh, the people in my head. I love this song. I love this song. I remember one time I was listening to a song and I was crying. It was touching my soul. all the things you could do. Or all the things you could done wrong. I don't know. It don't matter. I'm making my own lyrics. All the things. Come on now, John, get it right. Sing my lyrics. Yes, yes, yes. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Can you feel that? Thank you for tuning in to yourself. Because when you tune into yourself first, you find yourself grounded. And thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Ha! I have forgiven all the things, something, something, all the things that you've done wrong. If you don't want me to sing over this song, it's okay, just forgive me. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show where we get down with spiritual songs and rock it out. Woo! Can you imagine just shaking what your mama gave you to us? Okay, okay, okay. Calm down. What's going on? What happened? Yes, it's about healing. It's about joy. It's about togetherness. We know that life deals us so many cards. Oh, I still want to sing this song. I shouldn't be playing this song underneath me. Love is what you do. Forgiven. All right, John. State of man. Y'all need to calm down. It's my show. Okay, I'm going to fade it out. I'm going to fade. Y'all like, y'all interrupting my thoughts. Wait, 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 wait. Let me hear a little bit more. I am forgiven. I can't get the words right. I'm just happy. Whoa, whoa, now, now. I have forgiven. Woo! Don't you just love it? That's me and my group singing the forgiveness song. This is my daytime voice. You know, my singing voice is kind of catching up. My singing voice was gigging last night. That's the state of man. Yes, if you can't start your day with joy, with laughter, then you need to go back to sleep and pull the covers over your head and start over again. No matter what is going on, find something to be grateful for. Find something to smile about. You deserve it. You are here to make life more beautiful, more grand, more amazing. Because you're on this planet, I want life to say, oh my God, look at who's coming down the street. I feel good about myself. Yes, make life feel good about itself. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. I am your host, Life Coach Ade, the naughty professor, the whatever you choose to call him, the inspirer, the crazy dude, the guy with a funny accent. The guy that the kid says, Mr. Ade, why don't you speak English? The guy who doesn't speak English. Whatever you want to call me, it's all good. Because you know whatever you call me is simply an expression of your consciousness. And I know that everybody that is listening to this show is full of love and joy and abundance and prosperity and miracles and laughter. Can I go on? Yes, I can. Peace, serenity. Okay, you can stop. You've got a show to do. So whatever you call me is going to be an expression of that. You ready for that? And if you're listening for the first time, it's okay. Relax, relax. Don't take life so serious. Chill out. Stop being so grown. Let all that thought go. And if you can't handle the beginning of the show, you better stop praying now. Yes, the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on lifeconversationsradio.com. Why I'm so happy? I'm so happy because happy am I, am rich, am happy. Happy am I, am rich today. Happy am I, am rich, am happy. Happy am I, am rich today. I don't know why I'm doing all of this, but I'm going to let it happen. I have no clue what's going on. And whoever needed that kind of joyful song and joyful feeling, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not going to stop it. I'm here to express myself. Because I am here to love. Let's bring on Celeste, because I've been cutting up too much. And Celeste has a way of bringing balance to the show. I'm Celeste Morgan.
and I'm here to give you the announcements of the day. And make sure you join me later around 1. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
Okay. All right, okay. I just mentioned Brady's with me. Hello, family. I see you for Saggy. Hello to everybody on the phone lines. Now, I just want you to breathe with me. I want you to tell me quietly now, who gave you coffee? Who gave you coffee, man?
I can't tell you who my dealer is. I can't tell you who my dealer is. I can't snitch on my dealer like that.
Oh, my goodness, Life Coach Today, you sound absolutely wonderful. It is contagious. I know. I'm going to simmer down. I'm going to simmer down. But what a great father you would be indeed. Thank you so much. Here we go. I'm just going to get right to it.
You know I got stepchildren now. Be careful. But anyway, moving right along. That's a whole different conversation for a whole different show.
And I'm sure they would back me up, too. So, you're a wonderful father. Moving on. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Mad Hatter, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes, like I do, by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today and Tanya Grady can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1. And in case you didn't know, Tanya is the beautiful sister talking to us today about fatherless like me. So if you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. If you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Also, you can email Life Coach Today any time of the day, and he will answer your questions on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachtoday.com. The theme for the month of January is Release Your Inner Splendor, and we have wonderful guests coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo, and he's going to help you free your hostages. Don't miss this spiritual food, I'm trying to tell you. You want to be here for it. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. You can find out about more of them on LifeConversationsRadio.com. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspiredbroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance for your financial blessings. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Ooh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you, Celeste Morgan. We'll see you. We'll see you. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm Celeste Morgan, and I'm
You're going to get it down.
I think I need to drop the
bass. Phone call too.
Let me go higher. I'm Celeste Morgan, and I'll see you around lunch.
No, I do not sound like that.
No, you don't. I'm just experimenting.
Okay, cut it out. Get back to work.
Okay, I'm going back to work now. She's cracking the whip. Thank you, Celeste.
Yes.
It's a good day. It's a fine day. You are here to make a difference. You don't know it. I am telling you now. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Tune in. Call in. Share your love. Share your wisdom. Share your thoughts. What is your experience of growing up in a family where there is no father? How is that showing up in your world? Maybe you grew up in a family where there was a father, but your father was emotionally unavailable. Maybe you wish your father could have been a certain kind of way, but he wasn't. Maybe you have dreams and hopes about the perfect father, but you didn't quite have that. Maybe your dad was an alcoholic. Maybe he was a drug addict. He had all what society calls demons chasing him all around the earth. And you wished you have a father who was there emotionally, physically, mentally. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad. And if you know people who are going through this, if you've had a conversation about fatherlessness and you just think it's just wrong, keep listening. We're taking your questions, your calls, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears. Yes, we're taking it all. You can post it on the Ask Life Coach at a radio fan page, or post it on the Life Conversations radio fan page, like page. I'm laughing because I'm looking at Cheryl's comment in the chat room. She said, "Are they behave?" I don't know. I'm just me. I'm just feeling myself. You know, can I just feel myself a little? Let me feel myself. Don't be getting in the way of what I'm feeling, because all I got to do is say yes. I'm undressing and saying yes to God and allowing God to reveal itself, herself, himself through and as me. And so I don't care what shows up. It's about healing. And when you want to heal, you got to let it all hang out. You got to let it all hang out, you know? Yes, yes, yes. What's your story? What's your story? 347-426-3346. Tanya Grady is in the house. We're getting ready to bring her on. Let's see. Let's see. We've got to do a little couple of things here. Okay. Okay. All right. So, actually, I need to do something real quick, because when we talk about fatherlessness, we want to go deep. We want to get clear. So what we're going to do is play something. I don't know what I'm going to play, and then we'll come back with Tanya. Let's see. Let's see. Tanya Grady, she's the author of – actually, no, she's a co-author. You've got to get that right. She's a co-author of a book called Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without a Dad. The other author is another beautiful lady called Skylar, and that's her daughter. She's writing an autobiography. Can you imagine? And how old is she? I don't know, maybe about 11, 12, something. We'll find out. So let's play a song, and then we'll come back with an interview. Let's see. What am I feeling? People are feeling too much stuff, so much going on. Energetically, people are just struggling and don't understand. So let's find something that will just bring you home. I know. I don't want to play that. Let's see. I'm just feeling so good today. Armstrong, tell them why I'm feeling so good. Well, you don't know. Only I know, but talk to them.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. This is Sherry Marie. Wind. So we're blowing the winds of change. It's blowing all your cares away, all your struggles right now, and we'll be back with Tanya Grady to talk about fatherlessness and what it's like, the pain, the disappointment, the healing that needs to happen so we can set ourselves free. Sherry Marie, wind. I'm tired of all this heavy stuff.
I'm tired.
I want to fly.
From my life. I'm tired of the helplessness. Can I walk on?
waiting for mine. Oh, I'm sick and tired of pushing and pulling me under. I'm over the line. I'm so tired of wondering why can't I walk through? Can I stay strong? Oh, I pray to find a way. I'm gonna trust the wind to carry me, fly, born free. Oh, wind, carry me away, away, wash away my feet, blinding me, fly, I'm born free. Oh, wait, can't stop it.
I don't know who's singing through me, man. I know I got a great voice in there, but... All right, Sherry, stop inspiring me. Yes, I'm just going to let wind carry all that away. I don't know what's going on, but I'm just letting it be. But I love that song, too. I love all the songs I play. Sherry Marie Wind, we started the show off with State of Man, I Have Forgiven. To find out more about State of Man, their website address is stateofmanmusic.com. How perfect, you know, I Have Forgiven, State of Man. What's the state of man in the society? Yeah, we got to play some song. We got to express ourselves. We got to learn to know who and what we are. We got to show up. We got to show out. And this is Sherry Marie Wind. You can find out more about Sherry by going to her website, sherrymarie.com. Sherry, SHERIMARIE.com. I bet when I listen to the show all over again, I'm going to be so embarrassed that I was singing. But right now, I don't care. And yes, in that space, the consciousness of expression and gratitude and joy, I want to take this moment to acknowledge a wonderful man, someone whose legacy lives on, someone who inspired us and continued to inspire us, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is his birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, MLK. Ooh, I like that. Happy birthday to you. God is blessing you now. 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 He may not be in the body, but his soul, his spirit is right here. And God bless Tanya. She chose a good day to come. I don't know, but we're going to dance together. See if she can catch up with my craziness. Tanya Grady is an award-winning television producer from Brooklyn, New York. I don't know. I don't care. I trust the process. Who heads up her own production company? Grady Girl Productions, Inc. In 2007, inspired by her daughter's pain and her own anguish of raising a fatherless child, she decided to fight back by producing and directing her first documentary. The film was called Man Up, The Exploration of a Fatherless Nation. She gave birth to a whole new way of communicating, inspiring other people to have a dialogue about this issue. Sometimes we judge ourselves about it. Sometimes we have statistics about it. But she said, no, we could do better. Now, her and her daughter co-authored a book, Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without a Father. This is apparently there's going to be three books. So Skylar, at age 11-ish, 12, I don't know, 10, she'll tell us, is writing her own biography. Autobiography, I guess. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome back my friend, because she's been on Life Conversations Radio before, I think about twice at least, Tanya Grady. Hey, Tanya, how are you doing?
I am excellent, Ajay. How are you, my friend?
Wonderful. So, I hope you were you holding on saying, oh my God,
yeah.
This guy, he's lost the plot. I hope I told all my friends to listen. Well, if your friends can't handle me, they can't handle life. That's what I got to say.
No, I love you, RJ, and I love your energy. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to tell you all about my new project, which is Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without Dad, a wonderful little book that I wrote with my 9-year-old little baby, Skylar.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so let's jump into this conversation. But before we do, you know, you've been here before. Some of my listeners may know about you or not. But even if they do, I got to ask you this question. I read a little bit about you, but I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Tanya Grady?
Nice question, Ade. I would have to say that Tanya Grady is a single mother. I'm an entrepreneur. I am a CEO of my own production company. I am a woman who's on a mission to end the cycle of fatherlessness. I am multi-talented, and I do a lot of things. I'm a television producer, filmmaker, writer, and new co-author of this book. So Tanya Grady is a woman who is, let's just say, on fire right now.
I hear that. But I must say, gosh, you're just lazy. Can't you do something? I mean, come on. I mean, there's so much to do. Gosh, you're so lazy.
Just I try not to be lazy.
I see. I bet you're dreaming ideas up while you're sleeping.
Believe it or not, I do.
I
jump up and I get ideas and I jot them down. I have to sleep with a pad by my bed.
I understand. So when they say she was talking in her sleep, oh no, she was creating in her sleep.
I like that.
Yes, indeed. So now let's talk about your work, your project, your life mission, and what you're part of, how you're expressing your purpose on this planet. You, as we said earlier, you produced a documentary and directed it a few years ago called Man Up. Let's go back to the backstory first before we talk about the book, because we got time to really go in different places. Because my intention is to really use this conversation to heal children, parents, you know, their mothers who never had their father around, their fathers who never had their fathers around. But my intention is to use this conversation to bring about healing. So let's talk about the documentary, or what inspired that? What was the backstory?
Story is very, very simple. My daughter inspired me to do this work. Raising a child who is growing up in what I like to call the throes of fatherlessness is a pretty terrible thing as a mom to watch your child in pain and not be able to really help them. And my daughter was asking questions about her dad and where. You know, was he? And I didn't have the answers for her. And it really bothered me. It bothered me to the point that it made me go out and seek answers. And I did that in this documentary that I created. I had to do something. My whole idea was, what can I do? I'm watching my daughter. She's sad. She's upset. I don't know, you know, what to tell her about her dad. I don't know what makes him not want to be in her life. I didn't have the answers for her, so I decided to, you know, look for the answers on the outside, and I wanted to do a documentary, and that's why I named the documentary Man Up, The Exploration of a Fatherless Nation, because I was in search of answers, and that's what I did. But the documentary Man Up was also a platform for me to expose these hurt children, these fatherless children, that, you know, there's over, 24 million children who are growing up without a biological father, and that's a pretty staggering statistic. And I don't really use statistics that often, because to me a statistic never moved anybody. People move people. So
I
wanted to do this documentary, and as the director, I wanted to evoke some sense of feeling and emotion to move people. And I succeeded, because the documentary has definitely changed lives.
In the process of making a documentary, did you, or maybe even before that, before or during, were you able to understand why Skylar's father left, or did you guys have this agreement? Did you have a better understanding of what happened?
As the years have gone on, I've gotten a little bit more enlightenment as to what his problem may be, but not in total. And to not get too deep into that, I just need to understand that there is no reason, I need to say, there is no reason big enough for a man not to be in his child's life. So that's the end game right there. There's no problem that is too big for a mother and a father to work out for a dad to not be in his child's life. So I just really, you know, I don't want to turn the show into, you know, oh, we went through this, we went through that, because to me, all of that is irrelevant. And that when I go around and I speak at different places, that's what I try to preach to people, because it's irrelevant what the mother and father are going through. We have to put our issues aside or work through them, but the bigger problem is to make sure that that child has a loving mother and a loving father in their life, period, point blank.
Right, indeed. I agree. But I got to say this as well, and I think partly you talk about 24 million children living in a household without their biological father around. I think sometimes, I mean, even as you said, I totally agree with you, there's no reason why a father should be around, but we have lived enough on this planet to know that it is happening. And I think sometimes we've got to look at what happened. There's so many reasons. There's some men in prison. There's some who can't get along with the mother of their daughter, or their children, or their son, there's drug abuse, there's alcoholism, there's so many things. And I think part of healing that, so that we either bring the numbers down or bring healing to it, is to kind of understand how we got to where we get to. And for me, I would like the show to be that, it's not even to sensationalize your story, but being able to, one of the things that I know is when we share our pain, which is what you and your daughter did here, it brings healing to other people. I know female friends who didn't have fathers around, and sometimes to some of them, that still shows up in their life. Some of them have done the healing. And but it's always nice to, the healing helps when we hear everybody's point of view. And I want to go with that and go to ask you this question. Through your work, through the book, the documentary, you commit a lot of your time to actually meeting with men and talking with different groups. What kind of things do you hear from men that cause them to leave or not show up or not be there? Because it's okay to say, I don't care what, why, I know I'm supposed to be there. Because there's some men who say, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be there. But clearly, they know, but they're not. So what kind of things do they tell you to cause them to not be there for their children?
That's an excellent question. Ade, there's an array of different situations that I hear from men when I go to fatherhood organizations and I speak to the men directly, which is what I love, because it gives me direct insight into why men walk away from their children or why they're not in their children's lives. And some of the things that I get, a lot of men are not together. They don't have their life together. They don't have what it takes to provide for that child. So that's like the major issue. A lot of men feel like, well, why should I be there? I don't want to go see my child because I don't have a job right now, or I don't have anything to give that child. And one of the things that I tell them is that your presence in that child's life is better to them than buying them a present. And, you know, to get them to understand that everybody goes through ups and downs in life. Men don't have to shy away from visiting their children because they're not able to give them the monetary or the material, you know, things that kids look for. Because through my documentary, I've learned from the kids that they don't really care about the toys. They want their fathers. They get it. It's the dads who don't get it. That's just one of the issues. The other issue is, which is a very big issue as well, is that I hear from the dads, oh, well, you know, my baby mama did this and my baby mama did that and I can't deal with her and I don't go over there because I don't want to see her and all of that. You know what? To me, we have to grow up. The baby mama's got to grow up. The baby daddy's got to grow up. We have to get rid of all of that craziness. We have to resolve it. We have to get to a point where you can co-parent that child, because a lot of fathers just feel as if they don't even want to deal with the mother, so they don't go see the kids, and they just forget all about the kids because they're that upset with the mom. And one of the things that I try to tell them is that, think about your child. Your child is wondering, what happened to you? You don't love them. Why you're not coming around? They're not going to understand that you're not coming around because you think the mother is so awful. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to get past that. So I think a lot of the great fatherhood organizations that are out there that are mentoring these men and putting them on the right track, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of great work. And I'm just one single mom that's just joining on the bandwagon, just adding my 2 cents to the pot.
So let's talk about Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without a Dad, the book you and your daughter co-wrote. How did that come about?
Well, this is so sweet because my daughter and I, you know, I travel a lot, and when I can, I bring on the road with me. If I'm speaking at a school or at a college or at a fatherhood conference or whatever, I'll bring her with me if I can, and I introduce her to the audience, and she gets to say a few words, and, you know, she feels good, and she can see, you know, after the documentary, when I was screening the documentary, after it was over, people would walk up to me and hug me and tell me how great the work is and how I'm helping them and just all these great things, and she was there to experience it with me. So one night after one of the screenings, we came home and we were happy, feeling good that we were helping people. And I said, Skylar, we should write a book about our life. And she said, Mommy, let's do it. And I said, oh, okay. And I'm just, you know, talking. I wasn't really, you know, in that zone to do it. I was just saying it would be a great idea. And she was like, let's do it. And I said, okay. And I really didn't give it any more thought. But every 6 months, she would ask me about it. And I would say, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And eventually she wore me down. And this past fall, we decided to, you know, just put the pen to the paper, and we did it. Me and my baby wrote this book together, and I couldn't be more proud.
What was that experience like for you?
Oh, my goodness. This experience, writing, it's not just writing the book, Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without Dad with my child, Skylar. It's about conceiving the idea. Like, we worked on the project in total together, the concept, coming up with the idea, what the book would look like, the characters inside of the book, what we wanted to convey to the people, you know. And my daughter, you know, she, you know, this is a snapshot of her life. And she wanted to, you know, be able to help children because she's going through it. So we were able to just kind of sit down, have meetings, and decide what we wanted to put in the book, what we wanted the kids to get out of the book. And we did it together. And just to teach my daughter the thought pattern of what goes into creating something from scratch, it was the best experience I could have ever had. I mean, just the best. I'm over the moon about it.
What about for Skylar? What was it like to write her own story? So the stories that what you wrote about, you talk about her in the book, you talk about her being in a room with a picture of her father on the floor and sometimes crying. Was that real story, or was it something that stories that were gathered from other children? Okay, go ahead.
No, well, actually, these are Skylar's stories. You know, the book is part reality and part fantasy. You know, it's a snapshot of our life. And it's, you know, what my daughter has been, the challenges that she's having to overcome as she grows up without her dad. We put the Miss Sophie character, which is the big panda bear, the big pink panda bear. You know, of course, that's not real life. You know, that's the little fantasy part for the kids, you know, to give them something good and cool. But the part that you're referencing was very real because my daughter has pictures of her dad when she was smaller, when he did come to see her. But she's so small then, she didn't really, you know, she still doesn't know him, and she would get so upset that she would throw the pictures on the floor. And I didn't know at first, because whenever I would go in her room, the pictures would be on the floor or thrown behind the bed, and I would say, Skylar, how come every time I come in the room, it was just these two pictures were on the floor? She would always say, I don't know. She'd say, I don't know. And at first, you know, first 2 times, I didn't think anything of it. But it kept happening, and then the light clicked on. That's her way of acting out. That's her way of that she's upset. And when I talk to her, she's upset that she's looking at these pictures, but she still doesn't remember him. She's in the picture. She's looking at him, but she doesn't remember, and she gets upset. And you know, that we put in the book.
Wow. And what was that? What was that experience like for her?
Well, for her, I think it was definitely therapeutic because she was able to tell me, you know, in that way that something was wrong. And that's why I like the fact that we put it in the book, because a lot of moms, single moms, I think they can be missing the signals that the children are sending. You know, mm-hmm. It can be very subtle. It can be very outlandish. But my daughter was sending me very subtle signals that she was having some problems. And by me catching on to that and having a conversation and saying to her, you know, I know you're upset about your dad not being here. Talk to me about it. And she would talk to me about it. And she, you know, she didn't want those pictures up front all the time in her face. That, you know, that's her way of saying, you know, get out of my face. You're not here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And for me, it was the opportunity, again, to have one of those great conversations to really check in with her and find out what's going on with her. And that's why the book is so great, because I think it's a great resource for single moms to take the opportunity to find out what's going on with your kids. When these kids read the book, they identify with Skylar's character in the book, and they really start to open up. So I think single moms should just kind of check out the book and really, you know, look into it and talk to their kids, give the kids the book, let them read the book together, and then it's a great opportunity for that important conversation.
Yes. The book ends, I like the way the book ends, and I'm not going to give it away, and I'm going to ask you a question that's got a link to that, but I don't want you to give it away. I want people to enjoy the story. But in quote-unquote real life, away from the book, has Skylar ever met her dad before?
Yes, yes, Skylar has met her dad. Let me just, because this is the thing. The book is basically referencing a point in Skylar's life. Skylar's nine now. The point that it's referencing is when she was younger, about five and a half. And Skye's dad was there when she was born. He was there for a couple of months, you know, of her newborn life. And then he came back again when she was younger, between the ages of two and a half and three. And one of the things that Skylar, you know, she got to meet him and he was there, and you know, that's where she gets the pictures. That's why she has the pictures of him. But one of the things that I like to basically put out there is that kids don't necessarily remember that. And a lot of men need to realize that just when you go visit your child for the first time, when that child is young, that some children have great memories at a young age, some don't, you know? And one of the things is that she saw him once or twice when she was younger, but once she got older, you know, and became, you know, four and a half, five, she had those questions like, where is he? Why is he not here? How come other kids have their dads? Where's my dad? And she started to get angry about it. And he did. I don't want to give it away because people have to pick up the book to see how it all, you know, kind of, it doesn't all transpire in this one book because it is a three-part series. But all of that to say is that she really needed to have him in her life. There needed to be a bond, not a visit. And that's what I think men need to understand. Don't just go visit your kid and then you don't see them again for 3, 4, 5 years. You have to, it's a daily active thing to be in a child's life. That's what kids need.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, my guest is Tonya Grady. She's a co-author of a book called Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without a Father. She co-authored the book with her daughter, Skylar Grady. And
I think I'm going to jump in there because I want to make sure we get it to them right. It's Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without Dad. That's the actual title of the book. Growing Up Without Dad,
Growing Up Without Dad. And you can find out more information about the book by going to the website. It's fatherlesslikeme.com, fatherlesslikeme.com. We're taking your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your disagreement. 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. We're taking it all. This is the House of Love. Our intention is to support you on your transformation. So call in. If you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, like page, the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, like page, and we'll definitely get to it. You can email it. We have some questions emailed in already, and we're going to ask Tanya those questions. Let's see. Let me ask you this question before we take a break, Tanya. How is the book being received by the young people that are reading it? What kind of feedback do you get from them?
Oh, Ajay, I am getting such a great response from the children who are reading the book, and children from all ages. I mean, kids from kindergarten all the way up to people who are in high school. It's something about this book that resonates with kids of all ages who are growing up without their father. And, you know, they are basically telling me how they are so happy we wrote the book together because they identify with Skylar and they don't feel so alone. And this is a great story. This one little boy who's 6 years old, I happened to be dropping some books off. One of the public schools bought some books for me, and I was dropping the books off. And he ran up to me and hugged me. And I was like, okay, I don't know this little boy. And his mom said, you and your daughter's biggest fan. And I was like, oh, my goodness, he recognized me from, she had purchased a book. And he recognized me from the back of the book. And he told me, he said, I love the book so much. I love Skylar and I love Miss Sophie and thank you. And I'm growing up without my dad, too. And it just touched my heart so much because I know that I am connecting with these kids. These kids, they need, it's kind of like somebody saying to them, you're not alone. I understand. You know, it's going to be okay. Here are some things that you could do to get over it, to make you feel better. And even his mom said, by reading the book, he's able to express himself better because he had been acting out in school and just mad all the time, and she didn't really know why he was mad. He's mad because his dad is not in his life. And this book was able to bring that to the forefront, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yes, 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 yes. You know, and that's what I say. You know, when we share our pain, when we share our stories, not only do we get to heal, we get to heal others. We're going to take a break, and we've got some questions that's been emailed in, and I got some other questions. We're going to get down and find out how we can support each other, support single mothers, support men who are not there, maybe help them catch a new reality about themselves, a new insight, a new awareness, so that we can be part of the healing rather than part of the problem. So we're going to take a break, come back with Celestia a moment, and then we'll continue the conversation with Tanya. And while we're doing the break, you can check out Tanya's website. It is fatherlesslikeme.com, fatherlesslikeme.com. A lot of information there about the book. We are going to take a break, I think. Let's see. Yes, we are. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on lifeconversationsradio.com. The number is 347-426-3346. What are you dealing with? Do you have an experience where maybe your father was around, as I said earlier, but he was emotionally unavailable? Maybe he was busy. Do you find as a parent, as a mother, as a woman particularly, are you still struggling with the fact that your father was never around, and you see how that show up in your relationships? That you look for men because really in the back of your mind, you're really looking for the love of your father. And then maybe you grew up and your father wasn't around and you feel like you're inadequate to be a great father and you wish to have a father and you want to share your story. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. We're here to support you on your transformation. It's all about healing. It's all about transformation. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Mom?
Dad, it's me.
We need to talk about sex.
I know you don't want to.
You think I'm too young.
You're afraid if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your Pookie Bear.
Your Lammy Lumpkin.
Your Bubby Chubs.
But come on, talk to me about sex. Tell me you want me to wait. Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
I know you want me to wait to have sex. So don't wait to tell me. Talk to me.
Tell me to wait.
And guess what? If you go to 4parents.gov, you can get help on how to talk with me about sex.
Look, this is important.
Come on, Dad.
Let's do this, Mom.
Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
And don't worry. I'll always be your little muffin head. Your ginger snap. Your pumpkin face.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hey, folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 We are one, 'cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. We are one. We are one. We are one. We are there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one.
There is no separation, 'cause we are one.
And that is the truth. Fathers, mothers, grandparents, we are one. We've got to really wake up to that truth, that awareness that we are connected, and we need to find within ourselves how can we heal the relationship. It is not just about the child, it's about us too, because if we don't get our stuff together, we're just going to pass the stuff on to the children. So let's wake up and recognize the oneness, the healing that is needed, and show up. Someone said to me one time, telling me about the story of his mother, what his mother told him, if she's good enough to sleep with, she's good enough to marry. Oh, that's a whole different show. Anyway, let's do a celestial moment and continue the conversation with Tanya Grady, the author of, let me get the book right, Fatherless Like Me. Let me read it. Let's see. Because I thought I said it right. But she said, Tanya said, wait, let's get it right now. Come on now, brother, man. I love you that, but don't be messing up the title. Come on now. Let's see. Let's scroll down here. There it is. Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without a Dad. I don't even know what I said earlier, but I know. There's so much going on in my head, I could have said anything. Celeste, how are you doing, my friend?
I am very, very happy to be with you today and listening to this conversation with Tanya. You know, it's not sexy to talk about fatherlessness unless you're on Maury Povich. I'm done.
I know, right? Yeah, and we take it to a whole different level. We ain't about pointing fingers. We're about embracing heart to heart and looking at it. But anyway, go ahead. Do your thing.
I love it, and I thank you. And I just want to say that I really wish that there was a book like this in the 70s, but we weren't prepared to talk about that out in the open. So I'm really grateful, and I'm going to stop right there because I can see you guys having a great conversation about that shift, you know? So, we got a lot of fun people in the chat room. I want to say hello to the family and all the beautiful family on the phone line. It's Celeste here, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. Besides it being Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, it is also the birthday of actress Regina King, who started out on the TV show 227 and grew up to act in movies like Ray and Jerry Maguire, among many others. She is known for playing powerful women in the arts, and that's in alignment with the energy of the day. The energy of the day is 4. And if it happens to be a birthday, it's also your lesson number for the whole year. 4 is known for its stability and groundedness in numerology. Our 4th chakra is our heart chakra. It is mainly responsible for the energies of limitless compassion, empathy, and love. Shango, the thunder god, and Orisha of music and dance, makes another appearance today because his numbers are both 4 and 6. 4 also shows up in the medicine cards as the deer, which reminds us to be gentle and compassionate with ourselves and others. The 4th letter in the alphabet is D, and words like determination, dream, and daddy connect us to the magical power of 4. Now, 4 also shows up as the emperor in tarot cards. The emperor is astrologically associated to the sign of Aries, the fire starter of the signs. This card is the father archetype in tarot, bringing form and order after the mother empress has given birth to her gifts of creation and abundance. Today, for a treat, I thought it might be fun to play with how the 4 emperor shows up in the affirmations for the everyday goddess deck. On my card, we find a regal woman of African descent. On her left hand rests an eagle. The eagle is a symbol of the zenith, a great reminder of your own ability to soar to great heights. Eagles are messengers from heaven and are the embodiment of the spirit of the sun. On her right side, we find a fierce lion. The lion knows how to get what he wants by knowing how to balance his life. Because of the lion's noble character, strength, and courage, the lion represents the great power of self-control, which leads to your own personal power. The emperor's affirmation states, I lead with wisdom,
integrity, and virtue. Through her gaze, we understand not to get it twisted, thinking that masculine is better than feminine. The balance of the male and female gives all of us access to compassionate power to do our best work and to help our children with the sting of fatherlessness. The reality is that we have both energies in us, and when we recognize that fact, we are indeed united in spirit. We need each other because we are each other, and we are prepared to let love find a way. And that's the story of four through the Emperor of Affirmations for the Everyday Goddess. I'll see you on Wednesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for weaving it together like you do, Celeste. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. I'm getting lost in the story of just listening. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You got to stop the battle of the sexes. Crap. You just need to give it up. There is no battle. We need each other. Thank you, Celeste.
We do. Thank you. I got that from you today. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Bye.
It's nice to hear my words come back to me.
I know, right? See, I'm listening.
But it's
okay,
true.
I'm done.
We are all expressing God. All the words and inspiration is coming from God, and we are just being a vessel, a channel for it, because about love is about healing. And can you imagine saying, that's my quote? Give me back my quote. It's all good. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. My guest is Tanya Grady, the director, producer of Man Up, a documentary that was produced in 2007, and her latest project is Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without a Dad. Tanya, welcome back. You didn't really go nowhere, but, you know, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me, Ade.
You're very welcome. We've got some questions for you. Let me pull the question up here and push this button and push that button. Okay, so the question from Annie. Annie says, there was a time when we didn't talk about fatherlessness. How do you think your book is helping to ease the pain of not growing up with a father?
Well, that's just it. That's part of the reason why I did it, too, because I felt like, as a society, we didn't talk about it. Everybody knew, but nobody discussed it. And I'm just one of those people where I feel like, you know what, let's clean house. Let's put everything out so we can deal with it. And this book, believe it or not, it has brought a lot of things to the forefront because we've done, my daughter and I, we just did a book signing in the elementary school, CS21, that she goes to. And, you know, you can't hide. The kids see the book. The kids are reading the book. The kids are bringing the book to the parents. So that's what I love about it, because the book is a colorful, beautiful children's book. And for some reason, it's very easy, and it's easy on the eyes, and it's eye-catching, and it's just, I think that the delivery is so good that the kids get it, and they're bringing it to the parents, and if the parents get a hold of it first, they're taking it to the kids. And I just feel like this is an easier way to swallow it, you know, because the conversation is otherwise, I think, maybe too hard for people, and they don't know where to start or how to embrace that conversation. But with this great little children's book, it's a great way for single moms to have that important conversation about where's dad with their children. And for kids who get it, you know, through my daughter Skylar or other kids who may have purchased the book and they're talking about it now, they get to talk about it amongst themselves. Kids are having conversations themselves, and this is so great because this is new ground. You know what I'm saying? Kids are feeling like they are liberated. They can discuss it by themselves because before they would hide the fact that they didn't have a father in their lives, you know? And now they don't have to.
Right. I mean, I see a metaphor in that. When you talk about this, it makes it easier for people to talk about it. As adults, we get so heady. We get so caught up in being right or being wrong or judging somebody that if we really want to go about healing, we got to become like a little child. We got to just keep it simple and communicate from the heart. And from you and Skylar now sharing your pain, you are now supporting people to tap into peace that dwells within them because they can say, wow, that's my story too. So there's nothing wrong with me. You talked about a young boy who was acting up in school. Sometimes we say kids, they're high on sugar. It's the food they're eating, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes it's that. But sometimes they're just emotionally imbalanced because they meet their father, their mother, or the situation that's going on at home. You know,
a lot of times that's the case. You know, a lot of times. Terry Williams has a book. Terry Williams is the PR guru, social worker, social activist, but she has a book called Black Pain. It just looks like we're not hurting. And she addresses the pain that children feel who are growing up without their fathers in that book. There's a whole chapter dedicated to it because the mental welfare of a child is very important, and a lot of people don't see that connection. Growing up without your child can lead to some serious mental issues later on, health issues, mental issues, a lot of different things that it leads to. And she talks about it, so they should pick up that book as well.
You know, and that's a good point you bring up because, you know, in the Black community as well, you know, there's so much going on. There's so much going on. And sometimes we don't always acknowledge the pain. There's so much, you know, we're trying to get through work. We're trying to get through the stress. And with all the stories of the past that hasn't been healed, what it means to be Black in America, we carry that sometimes. We can't even make time for our own pain. And until we make time for our pain, until we share our pain, there can't be any healing. And that's very, very important. You know, there's no,
that
I don't care how you dice it. You've got to share your pain. You've got to acknowledge your pain. You've got to feel your pain in order to heal it. So if you can't feel it, don't want to talk about it, you're just going to carry that stuff on and pass it on to your children, male or female. Now, here's a nice question that I like, because I think this is part of, and I'm sure you can, this really, you know, this question is actually good for you as a single mother. The question is, how has your family been supportive in letting Skylar know that she is loved, even though her father is not around?
My family is being supportive by, you know, just really encouraging her to go ahead and, you know, let people know how she feels and to be the great, beautiful, bright, smart, you know, fun-loving kid that she is, you know, and that's the great part about it because in the book, this is a snapshot about life. She does get sad from time to time, but she's also a very well-rounded child who loves to play with her ripstick. She loves football, basketball, and she loves all that. And what we deliver in the book is a message of letting kids know that you can still be fabulous even though you don't have your father in your life. Just be hopeful and faithful that one day he will come back, and that is the message. It's an inspirational children's story, and it delivers a powerful punch. It really does.
I like the way the book ended. The way the book ended because of the story, but I'm not going to go too much. And really, because most of our pain and our peacefulness, if you will, happens the same way. That's all I've got to say. I so much want to go deep into details with that, but I don't want to give the book away because we have a choice to do what was done when Miss Sophie said, okay, our child, I'm going to take it. So I'm going to take it with me, you know. And what Miss Sophie had Skylar do in the book is what we can also do to heal ourselves. That's all I got to say about that.
Exactly.
Okay, let me move on to another question before I give it away. Let's see. I got some other questions here, but I want to ask you this. Let me go to the next question before I go into other questions that I have for you. Here's another question from Sylvia. Sylvia said, if you had the opportunity to have a heart-to-heart with your daughter's dad, what would you say to him in the hopes of helping him see the light? That's a good question.
Well, I have had not necessarily a heart-to-heart, but that conversation that I always try to have.
What was it?
Through.
A head-to-heart?
More like a head-to-heart, exactly.
Which direction?
It's really crazy because some men, including Skylar's dad, they don't seem to understand how crucial and vital it is to have an active relationship with your child. Some men just don't get that, and that's what I've been trying to get through to him. She needs to know you love her. She needs for you to call her. She needs for you to visit her. She wants you to know who she is. My daughter is very articulate. She's very shy, but she's very articulate, and that's one of the things that she always says, Mommy, I want my daddy to know me. He doesn't know her. He knows of her. She wants him to know her. She wants him to see her when she's making that three
pointer, you know, when she's playing basketball. She wants him to see her when she's on stage, you know, getting an award for being on the honor roll. It hurts kids to know that dads don't care enough to be there on them very special moments and to be there in the ever-presence of everyday life. And dads need to get that. It's a lot of fathers that I talk to, Ade, and they don't seem to quite grasp that key point. Kids need you. Kids need their fathers in their life, an active father. They need someone to know that, you know, they want to know that their dads care. And some men think just because they pay a child support check that they're taking care of their kids. It's two separate things. You have to be in your child's life.
Let me ask you this, because what you're saying is true, and you're talking about some men don't quite get it. And I think that's part of the problem, because you can't make someone see what they can't see, first of all. So what I want to ask you is, when you have that conversation, when you had the conversation with Skylar's dad and other men, when you try and tell them that, what kind of response, what did they say back? What did Skylar's dad say back to you when you told him that?
He basically feels like she has me, so she's fine, and that's, you know, it's idiotic, and, you know, it's just that he doesn't, the more I, you know, and that's why I go so hard. People want to know why I go hard. I go hard because I'm living this. I am in this, me and my daughter, and I'm trying constantly to get her father to understand that she needs him, and it bothers me when, you know, I'm having to fight with him, and I'm also out there on, you know, the battlefield, and I'm talking to men. I get to speak with men at all of these great fatherhood organizations that, you know, allow me to come in and speak to these men. And some of them, they get it. You know, when I talk to them, they get it, because here's the problem. Men can't seem to hear it when it's coming from that person that you don't like or you despise.
Right.
They don't hear anything you're saying. It's coming through garbled. So when I come in and I speak to other men, they can hear me because I'm not their baby's mama.
Right.
And
exactly.
And
good
I talk
point.
To them about the pain. And when I show the film, the documentary, Man Up, they see the pain displayed on the screen. So nobody has to tell them. They're able to see it for themselves. And when they read it in the book and they see how Skylar's crying and she's upset, they get it then. And I just have to find a way to reach Sky's dad that way, because I'm trying to do it, and again, it's just coming through wah-wah-wah-wah, because, you know, it has to come through another ground.
Right. And, you know, and for all the mothers that are listening, because we're actually focusing on fatherlessness right now, and people, mothers who can say, I can so agree with that. My advice to you, my suggestion to you is maybe don't even try and get the father to say it, because it's what Tonya's saying. Sometimes we can't hear the truth from the people that is closer to us. I've heard it from people that I've worked with, or other people who work with couples. Then in a counseling session and a coaching session, they say, oh, my wife was telling me that, or my husband was telling me that. Sometimes we just have a way of devaluing those that are closer to us. And but I think the other part of the issue is, it's that men have been raised when they were boys to be emotionally unavailable. In order to really grasp and understand that you're supposed to be there, it takes an emotional maturity. And men, we were raised to, you know, go out there and conquer. I mean, even if we're still doing it, you know, there's still this image that we put out there that a girl is supposed to be protected. She's like a flower, and hopefully this king will show up and pluck her and treat her well. But we do not help the men grow up emotionally. So what happens, we come together, you have a woman who is naturally emotional, and for those who want to take an issue with the word emotional, calm down. I'm not talking about it as a bad thing. Females are naturally emotional. That's why you carry the baby. And men are naturally intellectual. It's all about the left and right brain way we think. So if we start raising our boys nowadays to really understand their emotions, their role in life, it will make a difference. Too many people understand why. You know, there are people who are drunk or who always get drunk and say, I know I'm supposed to give up. I know it's bad for me. I know I'll cause my family pain, but they will still go back to the bottle. So it's usually something deep. Some of the men never had a father there, but it's really about learning a different way, and it needs a shift in consciousness. Let me ask you this, Sonia. Now I'm giving you a whole new name. Tonya, how can mothers help fathers who are not around, fathers who say, I don't have the money, or I don't know what to do, or whatever. How can the woman help help fathers see the importance, rather than just telling them you got to be there, you need to be there, your child needs, what can they really say? Or I'm sure you may have done that with the other men that you interact with. How can men help?
Well, one of the things, I believe that the mothers can really help the dads by being more available and being more accommodating. And don't get me wrong. You know, my single moms, big up to them because I'm a single mom. We do it all. We have to do it all. And, you know, it's not fair, but it is what it is. And we have to somehow accommodate these men and try to get them, make it easy for them. And this is what I tell women when I go to speak to them and go to women's groups. I tell these women, try to accommodate your baby's father. Try to do everything possible to make it easy for him to come in and see your child. Because some, you know, some baby mamas, single mothers, they make it difficult for the dad because the dad's not paying the child support, because the dad is, you know, not doing what he's supposed to do, and they make it difficult. And what I tell them is that that is defeating the purpose. You making him madder does not help him be a better father to your child. So it's kind of like all roads end with trying to get the dad in the child's life. It's all about the child. With me, my passion is about the kids. I'm raising a fatherless child. I am passionate about these kids and how they feel. And I just think that if single moms can get, you know, past, you know, the father did this to me and he did that and he didn't pay this and he didn't do that, and they're keeping the child away from the father, which is wrong. Hear me again. That is wrong, because I stand very firm on that. There's no reason not to let a dad see his child, not unless that child is in harm's way. That's just my perspective on it. And I feel like, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, finish your thought.
And I just feel like, you know, women have to try to ease fathers into letting them know, okay, I'm not going to hassle you about this and where you're working and this and that. Just come see your child. Just make it a little bit more easier for them. And I know single moms is another hurdle we have to deal with, why we always have to give in. I get it. I understand. But if it helps the child, let's do it.
And you know, and I will add to that too, from a man's perspective, sometimes it's not just that the man doesn't want to be there. Sometimes it doesn't mean the man doesn't want to see the children. Sometimes it's the woman that's causing the hell, not just giving him a hard time. It's the woman that sometimes they're women who have played a man with the child. It's like, you can't see your child if you don't do this. Some women got mad issues, just like some men have mad issues.
Exactly.
So really, on both sides, we all got to heal. And it's about really, you know, there's a lot going on, because some people get together before they had children. They weren't thinking about having family. They weren't thinking about having children. They were thinking about having a good time. And a baby happened, and it's like, this was not part of the equation. And but we all must heal. It's not one-sided. And we all have issues, and we must be willing to bring the issues in our tissues to the table so we can heal it and move forward. And speaking of healing, I want to ask you this. What's your thought about what role do you think forgiveness plays in this whole thing about fatherlessness?
Well, I think forgiveness plays a big part, and this is what I've learned. While, you know, on the road, screening my film, you know, all over the place, what I've heard personally from the kids, I ask them this question. You know, some kids haven't seen their father in 10 years. Some kids never met their father. And I ask the question, if your dad came back into your life right now, would you forgive him? And the majority of those kids say yes, because they just want the dads there. They will forgive them. Now, as far as the single moms and then the dads, you know, the baby daddies, you know, are they going to forgive? That's a whole other issue. I wish we all can forgive, because for me, you know, as far as I go, I am forgiving everything. All I want is for Skylar's dad to come and be a positive influence in her life and be an active participant in her life and raising her.
Yeah, so true, so true. If you're just joining us, my guest is Tonya Grady. We're talking about fatherlessness, and she's a co-author. She co-authored a book called Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without Dad. And her website address is fatherless lightme.com. You can check out more information about their work and Tonya's documentary.
Let me give that website too, RJ. If people want to go to the documentary website, it's manupthedocumentary.com. And it's just like it sounds, manupthedocumentary.com. And, of course, fatherlesslikeme.com.
Right, right. Okay, and, you know, let's stay with that healing thing because that's the answer. Because it just is. I don't even need to qualify it. Healing is the answer. And until we're committed to healing, one of our listeners said, you know, this show is so emotional. It's emotional is as old as I am. I remember that void. There are people who are walking around with that void of a father not being around. There are people walking around with a void of the mother not being around. There are people walking around with a void of their parents not being around.
Can I share a story with you? Because, you know, when I co-wrote this book with my daughter, I did not know that we would touch the people in the way that we would touch them. I had a 50-year-old woman sit on the phone and cry. She was uncontrollable, and she cried because this book, just the title and then the insides of this book, just really brought up all of those feelings of her growing up without her dad. Nobody had addressed those issues in 40, 45, nobody had talked to her about these issues. And then along comes this book, Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without Dad, and she's able to somehow heal herself or feel like, you know, she can release that pain that she's been holding on for all of these years. Mm-hmm. So the book not only helps children, it also helps older people who have grown up and put the pain aside or feel like they've gotten over it. When they see this little children's book, they love it just as much as the children. You know why? Because whenever you got hurt at that age, that's where you are in that pain. You are at that age. So you may be 50, 60. When you see this book and this book pierces something through you, you feel it. It doesn't matter that it's a children's book. You love the book just like the kids.
I know that's right. And not only are they at that age, they now get in a relationship. If it's a woman, they get in a relationship relating with the man. If they're with a man, they relate with a man based on the void, on the pain that they're feeling.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
wonder why a relationship doesn't work. So we all have a responsibility to heal ourselves. And, you know, you talked about forgiveness earlier, that the kids would say, oh, yeah, I forgive my dad. But really, until the mother and the father's work on forgiveness, nothing's going to get done. I mean, now, well, I won't go that far. But it's a major role, I'll say that, because a father and his daughter or son can heal without the mother. A mother son and daughter can heal without the father. But somebody must commit to healing, letting go of the past, letting go of the pain, letting go of the judgment, of the criticism. And until we're ready to do that, it's going to be the same thing. And there are going to be people saying, yeah, yeah, it's a man, it's a woman, but we must all commit to our healing. Let's talk about bad-mouthing. You know, you hear that your father is no good, your mother is no good, this is this, that's that. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I do not bad-mouth Skylar's dad. And someone praised me because they said in this book there's not one single, you know, negative reference to her father. And I would never do that. I don't do that. I do not speak negatively in front of her about him because I don't want to be the person that fills her head with, you know, how she thinks about her father. I want her to come to her own conclusions on her father based on how he treats her and her time with him. And I discourage other single moms from talking negatively about, you know, the child's father in front of the child because that doesn't help anybody. You know, I think it's damaging all the way around the board. I really do.
We had a show yesterday and we were talking about compassionate parenting with Muti Emily Gunter. And she was talking about when she had her boys, when they were younger and she divorced, she reached out to male role models to speak to her son. What tools would you recommend for getting help and balance to young girls, young boys whose father is not around or maybe whose mother is not around?
Well, one of the things I would definitely encourage people is to go to the website, Fatherless Like Me, and purchase the book. And, you know, that's a way to release and teach kids how to cope with it. But also there are great fatherhood groups and there are great organizations out there where people can, you know, call up and get the information about, you know, especially if there are men out there who are listening to me and, you know, I have touched a chord with them and they want to get back into their child's life and they don't necessarily know how to do it. There are some great organizations out there, and I'll just mention one, two, Newark Now, which LeVar Young is the executive director. He is running a very good program over there. They have a Fathers Now program where they teach men how to reconnect with their families and help them, you know, get back into, you know, some men are just discouraged and things aren't working out for them, so they help them with wherever they are in their education. You know, if they need to go back to school, they help them with that. If they need to get a job, they assist with that. So they have some great programs. That's just one. Newark Now has a Fathers Now program, which is excellent. But there are tons of information online and resources, you know, where men can go and find out how they can get the assistance needed to reconnect with their child.
And what would you say to mothers who are saying, yeah, I hear about all this healing, but he's a sorry so-and-so, he's no good, he don't deserve to see his children, I can't stand him, he hurt me, I never trust men because how he treated me. What would you say to a woman who may be in that space today?
I will say to that woman, hurt people hurt people. By that woman having that negative energy and harboring all of those negative feelings, they're not hurting the dad, they're hurting their child.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to acknowledge that. And that's what I speak about, because there are a lot of women who feel that way. Oh, he hasn't been here in all these years. I don't want him around my child. I don't want him to, you know, come back into her life now or his life now. And I always encourage them, please, it's not about you. It's about the child. If that child wants to engage with his father or her father, then all be it, then they should have the opportunity to do so.
So it is, and so it is. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we release you?
I first want to just say thank you to you, Ade, for always, you know, giving me a place to come and express myself and promote my projects. I truly appreciate you and Life Conversations. And outside of that, I just really want to say, you know, Fatherless Like Me, Growing Up Without Dad, it's a really great book, and it's not great because my daughter, Skylar, and I wrote the book. It's great because it delivers a powerful message of hope and healing. You know, we leave kids with first an opportunity to identify with Skylar. Somebody identifies with their pain, and we give them some tips on how they can cope with the struggles of growing up without a dad. And also, it delivers the message of be faithful. You know, things change. Mm-hmm. You have to leave hope. I feel like if you don't have hope, you don't have anything. So I'm just going to leave on that note.
Actually, I'm gonna change that because we can. Before you leave, I wanted to ask you this question. I gotta ask. It just came back to me. This question I must ask you: what is the gift that you have received from this experience between from Skylar's dad not being around? What's the gift that's come from it and the blessing that's come from it?
The blessing of him not being around.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing, as crazy as this might sound, the blessing of this is that as hard as it is for me to see my child in pain, I feel like we have been blessed to have this opportunity to bring this stuff to the forefront by me doing the documentary Man Up and now my daughter and I writing this book. I feel like we have the opportunity to change lives. And had she not had this experience of her dad not being there, we would not be able to be a gift to other people. And I know for a fact that we are changing lives because people tell me every day. So that's the blessing in all of this.
That's right. I like the fact you said a blessing. Are you serious? And then you're like, wait a minute. And that's it. It's true. Because when you heal, you receive the blessing. We're talking about forgiveness. So, you know, I thank you for sharing that. And it's something that I want people to think about. We're going to continue the conversation about fatherlessness, but we're going to take a musical break. But I want to just thank you, Tanya, for the work you're doing, for healing others as you heal yourself, for allowing your daughter to find a way to express her creativity, her passion, her purpose on this planet. You know, no matter what happens in the world, it always leads us back to ourselves so we can express our true gift on this planet. So we may want to spend more time judging what happened and praising what is happening now. And that, it looks like that's what you're doing. You're changing the pain and you're bringing peace to other people's life. Thank you, my sister. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're very welcome.
Stay blessed, okay?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Tanya Grady, Fatherless Like Me is where you can get the book. We're going to take a musical break. We're going to continue the conversation and healing, healing, healing. That's what it's about, what Tanya just said. You know, it doesn't sound crazy to me. It might sound crazy to other people. But when you are enlightened, when you wake up, when you recognize that you are here for a reason, You get about your father's business. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm saying you're Southern now, business. Where'd that come from? Woo-wee. Okay, you get about your father's business because you are here to bring healing to the planet. And you experience people, you experience loved ones, co-workers that keep reminding you of your gift. Tanya and her daughter are getting to do that right now. What is the pain that you're feeling? What is challenging you right now? What are you moving through? You know, the answer is real simple. It's real simple. It's not always easy, but it's simple. You got to let it go. You got to surrender. You got to forgive. You got to give up being right. You got to give up being right and be more focused on being happy. And everybody else can be happy. If you try to be right, then you pass on that mess onto your children. And they continue the legacy of fatherlessness or pain. Let it go. Cynthia James.
Let it go. Feeling
Cynthia James, let it go, let it all go. Don't you know God is there? Yes, when you're feeling alone. Don't you know love is there? Unconditional love. Surrender, surrender to your greater yet to be. Not surrender as in giving up. There's something that is seeking to be birthed through and as you. Every pain in your life is bringing you to your blessing if you're willing to face it. And if you track this, especially when we're talking about fatherlessness, I mean, we can track the story. We can track why it's happening. We can see if we're willing to look, if we're willing to investigate. And sometimes the father's in the house and is unavailable. You know, it's not just, I mean, we're not into, anyway, I don't even say that. I don't just say what we're not into or talking about. Because if you get it twisted, you got it twisted. And if you want clarity, 347-426-3346. You know, we're talking about fatherlessness. There's so much going on that we don't address, but we think we can just talk about what the solution is. So whatever's going on in your life, rather than trying to just be all cute about it, you got to go to the dirt. You got to face the mess. We're going to take a call in a few seconds. Got to look at, is the father of your children, was his father there? If his father was there, was he emotionally available? Was your father, was he in war? Did he go to Vietnam, Iraq? Did he come back losing connection to his emotion? Is he dealing with a disease? Call an excuse, I don't care. But there is a reason why men do what they do. There's a reason why mothers do what they do. And the things that are not working where we need healing, there's a reason we do it. We can track the pain. You can't ignore the pain. And if you ignore the pain, the pain is going to say, I'm right here. It's going to show up somewhere else. And if you don't heal your pain, no matter how much you say you love your children, you are going to pass that pain on to your children. Let it go right now. Your life depends on it. Let go of being right. Let go of being the one who's always been there. Yes, if you want to complain, if you want to judge the partner, the husband, the wife, the baby daddy, the baby mother, get a counselor, get a therapist. Let it all out. Cuss them out one time, get it out your system, and then focus on healing. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Let's take a call. Let's take a call. Let's take a call. Let's take a call. Nisi, my dear sister friend, Cynthia James, let it go. CynthiaJames.net. I think I said that. I don't know. But if I did, I'm saying it again because I can. Who's monitoring me? And if you are, it's a waste of time. Don't do that because I never know what I'm going to say. Cynthia, my dear Cynthia, I'm just changing people's name. I don't know what's going on. I think I must start speaking in tongues. I'm going to call you Cynthia Nisi. Hey, Nisi, I am life. How are you?
Hi, Ade. How are you?
I am good. I am in love with love.
Ooh, that's beautiful right there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just calling in because I wanted to say that this show was very inspirational and healing in so many respects. But like one of the chat members said or typed, the topic hits home. And it really does, and it does personally for me because I'm currently raising a male child whose father is incarcerated, and so he's been gone for 6 years. We've corresponded through letter writing and whatnot. He and my son stay, or our son. They stay in contact through letter writing, and he's getting ready to come home. Mm. And also, one important factor was that since he's been incarcerated, he's been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. And I want to be the mom, I want to be the mother, and, well, I am the mother, but I just want to prepare my son for what may or may not happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know. you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And I guess that's my stuff. But I want to have this conversation with my son about the illness and what he could possibly expect or, you know. So, yes, this show hit home.
Yes. Well, let me just first let you know that I am embracing you right now. I'm giving you a big hug and telling you it's okay, it's all right, and it's going to get better, you know, because it's not easy. I'm not a woman, clearly, but I also know that parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice. So, you know, when you say that's my stuff, it's still valid, though. It's still real stuff. You had your son that you've been raising alone, mainly, for the last 6 years, and all the things that you know could happen, maybe your son's expectation of his father, and now he's coming back, he's coming out, but now he has a disease. And as a mother, you're concerned, you're worried about how that's going to impact your son. Nobody can take that away from you. So, yes, it's your stuff, and it has a place. It belongs in this conversation, you know. It belongs, and I think just honor that. Those are true feelings, and nobody can take that away from you. Because having been out of his life for 6 years, there's going to be a readjustment that's going to happen. But I think the best thing that you can do to yourself, for yourself, is be true to you and be true in your relationship with your son and with him. So rather than trying to say, don't expect this, don't expect that, you can give him a cut, let him know that, you know, does he know about his father being diagnosed with a disease?
Well, I recently broached the subject to him, and I felt myself choke up because I realized that I didn't really know what to say.
And
I just saw the look in his eye, and I said, well, maybe, you know, maybe I should have, you know, did it another way. I don't know, but, you know, the most heart-wrenching or the thing that slices my heart the most within all of this is just seeing the look in his eyes when he sees other boys with their father.
Right.
And I can glance over and see him look or stare longingly, and I'll be like, and it'll slice my heart.
Yeah. That's I mean, you know, I can just imagine. You know, what I would say is maybe that may not be the moment to talk to him, especially if you're feeling what you're feeling, but really finding, getting yourself the help where you get to express authentically your hurt, your pain, your anger, your disappointment, your sadness, you know, because until you face your own pain, your angers, your fears, you can't really express it to somebody else. Once you're able to do that, you may be able to get to a point where you accept what is. You know, you may not be there now. That's the situation. You see how your son looks of the man, and it breaks your heart. But the truth is, his father was not around. That's the reality. And when we start to embrace what is, we can start to see what we need to do next. Rather than, you know, from a place of longing, or maybe you think maybe you did something wrong or you chose the wrong man. Whatever the story you're telling yourself, I say, get the help that you need so that you can find peace within yourself for the choice that you made in the past, and you're not parenting from a place of guilt. That's very important. With a disease, I think it's very important as well for you to get as much information to get, once again, get help. What does that mean in your relationship with him when he comes out? So if he's schizophrenic, I don't know what story you have in your head. You may be thinking, is he going to be mad? Is he just going to blow up one day? What's he going to do? Is he going to use drugs? Is he going to do something? Is he going to, you know, all the stories could be going on, but I think it's important for you to get your information and even get help first before you talk to your son.
Yes.
So when you clear, when you process your own emotions, your own fears, your own doubts, your own worries, you're in a better place to support him.
Yes.
And I mean, I've known you a long time, and I know you've overcome a lot of stuff, and you will get through this. I know you will. And I want to tell you, I'm here for you. You know that I am here for you. You will get through this. It's an is another level of growth. You and Miles will get through this, and it will be another story. I mean, you got stories. Donna's in the chat room saying, please tell her I love her. You know, you've inspired people to call in. So you're going to move through this, but I suggest that you get help, get more information about it. Find somebody who understands this ease so you can communicate, so you can talk about your fears, your doubts, your worries, rather than blaming yourself, saying, oh, my God, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, maybe I should. Now, because you don't need to do that. You got enough to deal with, and you have enough to deal with, okay?
Yes. Well, thank you so much, and I just wanted to share that because, like the guest said, maybe someone else is going through that. You know,
Yes. Every time you call in or share in the chat, you always bring healing. So I thank you for who you are and your willingness to just express your pain so that we can all heal. You know, we can all heal. And we're holding you in the light, walking with you, knowing that the healing power of God is moving through you, through your son, through his dad, and even with the disease, that can be healed. That he can get the support that he needs. And I'm blessing the family right now, knowing that all is well, because God is right where you are, and we just allow God to do what God needs to do. But I will also say, get help, a place where you can talk about what you're feeling.
Thank you.
And you can feel supported. It could be a therapist, it could be a counselor, it could be a good friend, you know. So you can process your own emotions. And once there's clarity, then you have power. But if there's confusion, then there's no power. But from a place of clarity, you're more empowered to move forward clearly because you have a clearer vision. All right?
Okay. Thank you so much. Much love.
You're welcome, Dallin. Love you too. Love you too. Nisi, I love you, my sister. Life is good. It's getting better. We all have stuff we're moving through, growing through, and we need to support one another. It's about healing. It's about surrender. It's about getting help. It's about willing to be vulnerable. It's willing to just say, I am having a challenge, and trust in knowing that you will get the help that you need. I am life. I'm going to play something by Nisi because I keep hearing it. I am life. Where is it? Nisi is right down here. And if you don't know Nisi's story, just Google her book. What is it? Nisi, put it in the chat room for me, please. And talking about her story from being incarcerated to coming out and going back to school. You know? We all have stories. And we're here to work through it. See, the mess that you're going through has a message for you. And if you're willing to embrace the mess, if you're willing to look at it with eyes of compassion, of truth, just look at it for what it is and moving through the pain and all that comes up, you catch a message and then you get to be the messenger of truth like Nisi and Tanya, who's doing the work. Let's see. We've got some time to play I Am Life. This is a spoken word by Nisi. We'll be right back.
Clouds of my surrender. I am no longer in school. comprehension. I am beginning to see with eyes that are new. I am beginning to taste sweetnesses with a hunger. I am beginning to feel what is pleasing to touch. Oh, this is just too much. I am beginning to hear beautiful music, and for the first time in my life, I want to dance to a different tune. Mysteries are becoming unraveled. I discover roads I have yet to travel. The tender rhapsody is calming to my soul. Sweet soul that has proven to be discalming. The life before where wayward winds once would howl and whip mercilessly upon my head and said, "You are nothing." It was the same wind again that made me frantic, uprooting seeds that were long ago planted, igniting my frustration, multi levels of irrationalization, frustrations about being black and being fat and having unruly hair, yeah, that, and not knowing my father and becoming a teen mother and being a convict, a statistic whose destiny was already foretold from day number one. I kept adding and subtracting, but still coming up with the same sum, zero. Then something clicked. I have finally come to this place of realization, a manifestation, if you will, that all these things made me, that all these things made me. And I am a beautiful black queen, a sister rich in spirit, mind, and body, intelligently inclined. I found me, experienced in life. I found me. And who am I? I am life.
Who am I? I am life. I am one with the one, and so are you. We are one with the one. We are love in action, not just not that emotional thing. It's a law of the universe, and we're embracing. Is it Tina or Trina? I think it's Tina. Tina in the chat room, who said her father killed her mother in front of her. I guess when she was a child. Yes, those are. Stories. People have gone through serious traumatic things in life, and I trust Tina that you're getting the help that you need. And it is. We got to get to a point where we embrace what is. Like, this is what we got. Now we got to look at our relationship with who we understand God to be. If you see God as a man who did this to you, then you may want to adjust that. If you're mad at God, you may want to acknowledge that. If you're mad at your parents, acknowledge that. But you got to set yourself free. In Sacred Yes, Reverend Deborah Johnson talked about the feel, deal, and heal. Unless you heal your pain and deal with it, you can't heal. Too many of us trying to just blame it or do all kind of other stuff. But you got to feel your pain. You got to deal with it, and you got to heal. And now for those who are ready for this next level of spiritual growth and transformation, you chose this experience. You chose this lifetime. You chose your parents to come through. If this doesn't work for you, it's okay. You can just leave it alone. But for those who can get into that way of thinking, just trust the process. You chose this experience. Your soul is here to live out loud. So whatever you need to do to get your healing, to support you in your healing as they do it, do it, do it. You can transform your pain, and it becomes a story of peace, a story of reconciliation, a story of forgiveness. And we all get to heal along with you. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, which continues the conversation, really. Tomorrow's conversation is about forgiveness. And the title topic is, what is it? It's time to set your hostages free. Who are you holding hostage? Who are you blaming for your life or why your life is not working? It's time to set them free. And when you set them free, you set yourself free. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be love. It's the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And be loved. Allow the love to flow in and out of you. Open up to receive love. open up for life to receive you. And for those of you who want to find out about Niecy, you can go to Amazon, type in I Am Life, Collected Poems. You can find it at Amazon.com. This is State of Man. We all fall down. Oh, don't sing. Leave it alone. Yeah, I fell down every now and then. I fell down when I tried to sing. I'm out of here. I love you. See you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. Peace and blessings. Forgiveness is the answer. Join me tomorrow for more conversation about it.
Hard enough to make it through the day without holding yourself back. Then I search for a better way. Wish I could change the past. And I learn forgiveness starts with me. I put my worries down and set my spirit free.
Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.